Okay, this is it.
It's a show.
Here we go with an all-new It's a Show, an hour's worth of awesome in 30 minutes or less. I'm GA, and this week, author Kim Addis, president of Frame of Mind Coaching.
People know how to reach their goals. They know what to do. They're not doing it. Why is that?
Plus, an all-new Parenting with Peeker, and Sparky's love life takes a tragic turn.
I don't understand. Things were going so great. What happened? Something must have happened.
Boys?
Yeah.
Welcome to the episode on International Women's Day.
Woman, I can hardly express my mixed emotions at my thoughtlessness. After all, I'm forever in your debt.
Whoa.
Did you get your wife anything?
Yeah.
Sparky?
Don't have to worry about that, my friend.
Oh, no. We wanna
know. A Sparky Love Life update is looming.
First of all, we got to revisit our goals. Our goal is to double our Chinese listenership. We have two listeners in China. If we double it, we get to eat Chinese food in the show. Peeker and I investigated the statistics before Sparkle's arrival, and we're still at two.
We're still at two. Yeah. We're still at two.
I want to grow the show.
How do we do that?
That's our new hashtag is grow the show. How can you help us? It's like a telethon. Telemiracle's on in the old home province of Saskatchewan now, and that was the thing. Where are we going?
Higher.
And it would be like a...
Ring those phones.
Let's do a knockdown. And this is Bob McGrath's swan song. This is his last year. He's been doing it for close to 40 years, Telemiracle. Bob McGrath from Sesame Street.
So I read that. 39 years, and he's retiring.
Yeah.
Why not 40?
Because...
You know, that's a good point.
He missed 1 year because of a scheduling conflict. How do you have a scheduling conflict when you're at the thing every year? How does that?
Yeah.
Come and play. Everything's A-OK.
My question, though, is how did he get the gig in the first place? What's his connection? What's his tie-in?
I'm not sure. I think they wanted celebrities that related to the younger children that they were raising money for, and they probably reached out to Bob, who played Bob Johnson on Sesame Street, because McGrath didn't work for them, I guess.
You know something in your neighborhood.
Now, let's talk about Sesame Street first and foremost. Now, right. Bob, I've interviewed you for years, but I did not know about how you got cast for Sesame Street. How did you get cast for the show?
It was one of those really strange things. I have to back up. I had done Mitch Miller Show, then I was in Japan for 3 years. And
were a teen idol.
Yeah.
Under what name?
Babu Magulas.
Babu Magulas.
Babu Magulas. Konnichiwa,
genki desu ka.
So anyway, I was doing kind of all the Perry Como, Andy Williams cover stuff over there, right? And thought I'd bring that back because I had a teenage audience there instead of whatever.
Right.
And I happened to bump into a fraternity brother, a friend of mine from Michigan. Anyway, he just left the Captain Kangaroo show and said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm da-da-da. And he said, I'm getting involved in a new kids show. Do you think you'd be interested? And I said, not in the least, because I was thinking of going towards the teenage thing like I was doing in Japan. But then a couple of months later, they called and said, you know, you ought to come in. We got a guy by the name of Jim Henson. I didn't even know his name at that point. And he said, he's done some clever stuff in the animation film. So I went in and looked for about 3 minutes and thought, I want to do this.
Did they have puppets? Did they say, hey, Bob, you're going to be dancing and singing with puppets?
No, I did. I didn't know what I was going to be doing. But I was certainly hoping. It was a fluky kind of thing.
And how many years ago was that now?
45.
Really?
Yeah. We just finished shooting our 45th season and 26 new shows. Basically, they try and teach to the whole child.
Yeah.
Meaning everything, the affective and the cognitive area, the numbers, letters, shapes, and feelings. But it's still a really good show, but the demographics are quite different.
Would you like to meet some of the people around the neighborhood now?
Oh, who are the people in the neighborhood? In your neighborhood, in your neighborhood. Say, who are the people in your neighborhood? The people that you meet each day.
Oh, look who's coming now. Hi there.
Hello.
And now it's time for Parenting with Peeker. What do you got for us this week?
Oh, man. Okay. Potty training. Let's talk about potty training.
Oh, no.
So my youngest, struggling a little bit right now with potty training. I'm not sure. I mean, it's not really as much as the number one going potty training, but it's like the number two. Yeah, it's kind of tough, right? So
I've always had a thing with the number one and two numbers, because number one to me should be urgent pooping, because that like is a number one situation. Peeing, whatever, that should be number two. That's priority two. But pooping, if you got to poop, that should be number one, DEFCON one.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing. I mean, like she's in her comfort zone when she's doing a number two in her diaper, right? I mean, that's just the thing, right?
So the eyes water and they just start walking around going, hey, nothing's happening over here. Just don't look over here.
All right. Okay. So I'm going to get right to the point.
Okay.
We had an issue this week.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. The first time. Well, no, not the first time. Probably like the third time. But yeah. Anyway, so up to this point, having baths has been pretty straightforward. Hasn't really done anything in the bathtubs. Maybe let out some
gas.
Well, yeah. Or maybe
floaters.
Everybody pees in tubs and pools and stuff, right?
Not everybody.
Not everybody. Okay. Well, I guess I'm alone on that one. But so that's not the issue. We're having a bath and she's doing her usual thing, and I go away and I get some stuff, and I don't know, I can't remember. I'm getting her towel or clothes or pajamas or whatever it may be. I come back.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like she wanted to launch an attack on the bathtub. With the number two. It wasn't a Scud missile. It was a carpet bomb. I'm telling you. It was all in there, floating around. Oh. It was bad.
See, in my experience, my vast experience with children and poop and bathtubs, that always freaked me out because I'm a fairly clean fella.
Yeah.
And when that's the last bastion of cleanliness in the home. And when they soil that, what is your option? But, what do you do?
But she's just sitting there like nothing happened. Like, yeah, it was a whole process, man. Like it was,
yeah.
You know, what usually is maybe about a 20-minute bath, usual time, turned into like an hour of disinfecting pretty much everything from head to toe on her.
Yep.
And then going back and then cleaning the tub and dealing with it and scoop. Yeah, it's not fun, man.
It's not a fun thing.
But I don't know, like up to this point, why now? Why now? I don't know.
Sometimes like, the warm water and they just having an off day and then it's just boom.
Like, she's been like zero. She never did that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. So I'm going to take it easy on her on the potty train. I'm not going to put so much pressure on her.
Okay. So there's the moral. I was waiting for the moral at the end of the story, and that's a good one. You know, sometimes you just can't, you got to ease off.
I know. I don't know. Ease Anyone got off. Suggestions? Just hashtag
poopy pants.
People of the poop.
People,
the pod poop.
Poop.
Bath time buddies.
Bath time floaters.
Not your rubber ducky.
Anyways.
I don't know.
Okay. Moving
on. And that was Parenting with Peeker.
My dad says if a lot of people listen to this show, we can afford an Xbox. So listen, please. That was embarrassing.
Yeah, so grow the show. Here's what we would like you to do.
Grow the
show. If you have time.
Who doesn't have time? It's one button.
When we post things on our Facebook and Twitter, It's a Show Pod on Twitter and our It's a Show Facebook page, we would like you to just click on it, like it, share it if you could, because that is our best shot at like getting the word out there and growing the show.
I think if we hashtag it, like if you hashtag, well, I know.
G-Fark in Toronto at Sloan Baxter says the hashtag is king. It's going to blah, blah, blah. And I go, I never search for anything with a hashtag.
Okay,
one time a year, maybe.
So, okay, I want to know though, like with the hashtag, what is the point of hashtagging on Facebook?
The only reason the hashtags are on Facebook is because most people use Hootsuite or some type of dual situation where they post the same content on both platforms.
I know, I'm sitting there and I'm like trying to search, you know, like I'm an awesome dad.
And I also
hashtag dad is awesome.
It doesn't work on Facebook.
Are you sure? Because I'm thinking that it might start to become a thing on Facebook slowly. What? I think.
Because even with that, the whole recent blame game stuff, you know, I was hashtagging and searching that on Facebook and it wasn't working. So I don't know.
As we're talking about Facebook hashtags, I have three statuses that have hashtags in them. Not my own, but friends are hashtagging.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, why are people hashtagging on Facebook when you can't search it?
Trying to catch it on.
But Twitter is all about that, right? I mean, you connect by hashtagging.
Hashtag moving. These are all the posts on Facebook with hashtag moving. And I don't know any of these people.
Okay.
So it's a thing. It's official.
It's a thing.
How?
he's distraught over this. He can't even handle it.
I know. Well, I'm like, what's going on here? I think hashtags can be a lot of fun, but at the same time, they can be annoying too.
Yeah. Right? To me, it's the comedy punchline.
Yeah, that's
what
it is.
That's what the hashtag is, yeah. But now we're using it for more business purposes than fun, it looks like.
Well, I know. I just, Anyways, but yeah, so I don't know what the point is of hashtagging on Facebook. I'm done with hashtagging on Facebook.
Here we go. Hey!
Hashtag. Hashtag.
Very, very nice. Hey, you guys are on Twitter, right? Great. It's fun. Well, we use Twitter on our show every single week. Now I thought I'd share some of my favorite misheard lyrics tweets from you guys. Here we go. This one's from at Nancy V. Rom. She says, I used to sing, who you gonna call? Those bastards! Instead of Ghostbusters. I ain't afraid of no bastard.
I'm illegitimate.
This one is from at OTG2014. She says, I heard If You Start Me Up by the Rolling Stones as In Yugoslavia, you'll never starve. In Yugoslavia! In Yugoslavia, you'll never starve. Never starve, you'll never, never, never starve. In Yugoslavia, you'll never starve. No, you'll never, you'll eat, you'll eat, you'll... Yugoslavia, you'll never. This one's from at Timbo Russell. He says, when I was young, I thought The Lion King started with Pennsylvania. It should, actually. The Groundhog King. Yeah. Pennsylvania. Six more weeks of winter.
Punxsutawney Phil.
It's time now for a Sparky Love Life update. Update, update. All right, when we last left you, things were going good, man.
Well, let's just say a couple hours ago, I went to the Kingsmen, admission one.
Oh, by yourself.
You went to the...
Scooby Sway, okay, and I would have went with you. That's a great... We
that movie's so fantastic, by the way. If you haven't seen the Kingsmen,
yeah,
The Secret Spy, go see it. I loved it. It was good.
So you went by yourself?
I did.
Yeah. How like how often are you going to the movies by yourself?
Not very often, because I don't know what I like in movies. So it really has to take a special movie to get me to go to the theater.
And those previews, those promos they did for that movie were great.
Yeah.
That's why it intrigued me too.
So, and you know, I went to the 105 showing because that's when the popcorn's the freshest and the people are minimal.
Tips.
Yeah.
Tips galore from Spark.
It's awesome. Yeah. So I loved it. So this was supposed to be the weekend of the reschedule because she canceled last weekend. She keeps beating around the bush.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know
so
what?
So how many dates? You had 3 dates, though?
Three.
Three solid dates.
Yeah.
Well, one was the opener of the Starbucks quickie.
One was the opener.
And yeah. then we moved into more lengthy territory.
We did activities.
Yeah.
Did an impromptu ice cream run. That
Which
was
is
good.
Fun, super fun.
And then the fourth was supposed to be, I don't know, something, whatever you do in this town in the wintertime. It's nicer now. Like, this weekend's beautiful. Last weekend was not so much. But, no, I proposed two options. She acknowledged my options, but did not set forth in motion.
I don't understand. Things were going so great. What happened? Something must have happened.
It's not you. It's me.
You're giving me the it's not you, it's me routine? I invented it's not you, it's me. Nobody tells me it's them, not me. If it's anybody, it's me.
All right. George, it's you.
You're damn right it's me.
When you say acknowledged, do you mean that it said your post was seen?
No.
Your text was seen?
No, she doesn't have that kind of notification system. But the exact wording was, I said, I'm open, up to you if you're interested. So that was about last Sunday. And she gave me a text what she was doing Saturday night. She gave me a text what she might be doing Sunday afternoon. And then I said, dot, 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 so my Sunday is open.
Dot, dot, dot.
And today, as we record this, is Sunday. Oh, and where am I?
You're with us.
Not on a date.
So there you go.
Not somewhere you want to be. Okay,
and that correspondence was on Thursday.
Okay, I want to know about the correspondence. Spark. I want to know about the correspondence. Is it phone or is it just by text?
It's just text.
Okay, you got a phoner, man.
I'm not phoning anybody.
Yeah, I know.
I don't want to phone anybody.
I said phone.
You got a phoner, dude.
What? Are you nervous to phone? Like, I mean, this could be the rejection call.
What do I say?
You say hi.
Dude, and then?
Say, how are you?
Uh-huh.
What's going on? Tell me about your week and stuff. Here's what happened to me yesterday. Oh, my God. And then
I was talking about the peaker.
Talk about it. How about that Prentice? How about that Darth Vader Prentice guy?
Hey.
You know, like.
Did you look in the mirror today?
Yeah.
Come on.
It's all your fault.
We could have a lot of fun with that. Okay, so anyway, but yeah, give her a call, man. Seriously, just give her a call.
Maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, well, even tonight.
You got to muster up, man. That's the hardest part of being a guy is doing the muster and to get to the phone and do
Do you guys have a favorite show? Do you guys, is there anything that you guys share? Like no Walking Dead's on tonight.
No spit. They haven't shared spit. You know that.
No?
Walking Dead?
See, that's what...
Walking Dead would be great.
Walking Dead would be really good. So you can phone her up and you go, oh my God, did you see that?
Or just say, hey, could you come over? Because Walking Dead's on, man. This could be awesome. And I'll make you dinner.
Okay,
make you a chicken sandwich.
Okay, this is
chicken sandwich.
Okay, Spark, how old are you?
29.
Okay, so this is the generation that we have right now, right? I'm not pointing.
Oh, I am that generation.
But it's text, man. It's not like when GA and Peaker used to.
You guys are just schmooze.
We talked about this before in the show. No, that the party line was in motion, and you had anyone could be listening when you're trying to court the girl on the phone,
right?
And it was terrible.
And that's the thing, right? Like I know I haven't dated in a long time, but But I'm telling you, like
someone lost an arm.
If you call her. She'll be like, whoa, this guy's mean business.
You know what? We could call her right now.
Let's put it to a vote. Hashtag call her.
Should Spark. Yeah, let's do it. Let's grow the show. Respond to this on social media. We'll put it up on the Facebook and Twitter. Should Sparky call the girl instead of text?
Hashtag voice call.
Hashtag voice call is not bad.
There you go.
All right. So that was disappointing. I got to be honest with you because I thought we had momentum.
So I was like, great.
I wanted to meet this girl. I was waiting for him to take her home to his parents.
It's not over, though. Yeah, it's not. It's not over.
No, she did text today. So,
yeah.
Well, what'd she text today? Go to the movie by yourself.
No, she said something about the time change.
Oh, that's...
Well, then that's a reason to call her.
Right? That face says it all.
That is small talk that you should be doing verbally. Like, who texts about the time change?
That was embarrassing.
Thank you.
That makes no sense to me.
Someone who wants to talk?
I don't understand that.
I don't know.
Yeah, we could have went out for a coffee or something. Yeah. And then talk about the time change.
And now, Last Week Tonight asks, how is this still a thing? This week, daylight saving time. How is this still a thing? You've been groggy all day after losing an hour of sleep to daylight saving. And as you struggle to remember how to change the clock on your f***ing microwave, you may have wondered, why is this happening? For years, conventional wisdom has been that it benefits one particular group.
I remember years ago hearing that it was for the farm people.
The farm people want nothing to do with this. The modern daylight saving was introduced during the First World War as a fuel-saving measure by the Germans. That's right. You lost an hour of sleep this morning thanks to Kaiser Wilhelm.
Studies show there is an increase of car accidents and work-related injuries the week after the time change.
That's right. What you lose in sleep, you gain in mortal danger. Despite all this, 70 countries around the world still observe daylight saving. None of them could tell you why. Daylight saving time. How is this still a thing?
Oh, I just got a message on Plenty of Fish.
Okay, what's happening?
What's going on with the juicy juice?
That's funny. I don't even know. I'm terrified.
Okay, anyways, but you got to call her, man. Just call her on the phone.
I think we should call her right now.
No, there's no calling, and this is a delete situation.
You know what? You could just take over the controls and tape it, and then if it turns out horribly, we can delete it. But
Wait. The Plenty of Fish situation is a delete?
Plenty of Fish is terrible.
She didn't look too good. Did you see what she looked like? Okay.
All right. Moving on. There you go.
Okay. So this has been a lovely update with Sparky. Whatever. It wasn't great.
Cool.
I got a pet peeve.
Okay. So
you want to do a rant?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, an all new feature, Ranting with Peaker.
Hello.
Please hold your applause until the end of the awesomeness.
Emailing etiquette. Okay, let's talk about emailing etiquette.
Oh, boy.
Seriously. No, I'm serious,
burr
man.
Under your saddle.
Oh, no, I am, like, sick and tired of this.
Because we do a lot of emailing in our... Everyone does,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
Emailing is, like, my life from, like, 8 a.m. till 8 a.m. the next day. So, anyways, but when you send an email, don't put the message in the subject line.
I am Meryl Streeping you right now, sister.
I hate that. I hate when people just put But I'm coming over to see
you. We're trying to conserve energy, and we don't want to waste the body of the email.
It's a waste of time.
Yeah. Well, why is it a waste of time?
Why would you send me...
It's the same words you would see just one line down.
No, it's...
How is that?
The subject is this big.
It's that big, and it's annoying.
Playing the devil's advocate here, you guys...
No, I am...
No.
Something to complain about.
Don't do it. Stop doing it.
I'm going to do this from now on to you. See how you like it.
Yeah, so everything instead of me just...
Was that a threat, sir?
No, I just... Just coming over and just, you know, like something that you could say, like in like 3 seconds, like
meet
even a
me
phone
at the
call,
water cooler
or whatever. What? Text it. Don't email it, because emailing to me is a waste of time. It wastes my 30 seconds of my life that I don't really want to go through and look at.
I got you. It doesn't look great aesthetically. It doesn't look great. I don't like that part of it, and I don't have a huge problem with it, obviously. But you guys,
do. And then people, and when the caps lock it,
oh, the worst.
Is that the worst? It's the worst.
I'll tell you what's the worst, boys. I'll tell you, all the forms of communication that we have to wrangle these days, I do not know if I'm coming or going, and certain people will one time get me on Facebook, one time get me on text, one time get me on email, one time get me on Twitter. I go, I don't know where that last message was. Could we just make a concerted effort to keep the communication medium the same every time for the certain job to be done?
Ooh.
Whoa. Seriously? Doesn't that bug you guys?
GA, sometimes you're texting me on like 5 different phones, man.
That's true. That is so true.
Here's the thing.
Dude, let's talk about
both
this.
Of you guys. I got two phones. You got two phones too. And I never know which text.
You
respond usually generally 45 minutes later. Can you get me a coffee? Yes. And by that time, I already got 3 coffees. No. It's 4 in the afternoon.
No, you're texting not only to my two phones, but to my landline. Like, what?
Okay, I'm giving you this phone, and you're going to put priority stars on these numbers.
I'm going
to, because I'm sick of this.
I'm going to text a man,
totally sick of this. G Fark is getting me on Gmail, and then he gets me on my company mail, and then he texts me.
A lot of emails going around.
Look at the G Fark email, texts I get. They are emails. They're like 60 paragraphs long on a text. What am I going to do with this?
He wants to make sure you're getting the information.
G-Fark, are you listening?
But, I mean,
no, he's listening. He loves to listen.
Okay. But anyway, so I'm going to the text to landline stuff.
Okay,
it's awesome.
Here's the text to landline theft is awesome. Okay, here.
Take out any number you don't want me. But the problem is you don't have
your cell phones on you, or you never return, and I don't know which call it is.
Well, dude, because I don't know which one. How am I supposed to return a text to landline? Seriously.
Let's get off that right
now.
Oh,
man.
I'm sorry, man.
Okay.
I got to feed kids. What's up?
Okay. I think we can cut you loose.
Can you cut me loose?
Yeah.
Okay, I got to go cook some chicken.
Hello?
Hello, Kim?
Okay, I'm here.
Okay, this is amazing. This is the most convoluted process to get an interview done in the history of podcasting. Kim Addis is our special guest. She's the president of Frame of Mind Coaching, the author of What You Focus On Grows. I like that. Usually we try and get really clever with book titles, but you just went right for it.
I'm a big fan of just saying what you do straight out.
Nice. Okay, so first of all, let's begin at the beginning, Kim.
Well, I'm a coach for people. I'm a coach for executives, entrepreneurs, innovators, game changers. That's who I coach. I have been doing it for 10 years, and I got into it because I noticed what kind of coaches were out there, and they were mostly focused on helping people achieve their goals through the process of creating a game plan and having people do the things they needed to do in order to achieve that plan. And I thought to myself, something's wrong with that idea. People know how to reach their goals. They know what to do. They're not doing it. Why is that? And so I decided to create this company called Frame of Mind Coaching so that we can examine people's thinking and how their thinking prevents them from reaching their goals and help them move past those barriers or roadblocks.
So you want to do brain surgery on me without actually getting your hands dirty. Is that how it works?
We get our hands dirty, but we don't ask you to do a handstand while we're doing brain surgery. How's that?
Let me think about that for a second. One of the big components of your Frame of Mind business is the journal engine. Tell us how that works.
So when we coach people, one of the big things is that we want to get into their thinking. We want to understand what they believe, what their perspectives are, how they view the world, their past experiences, their values. We really want to get to know them very intimately and understand how they operate. And so what we do is we always begin with 10 weeks. There's a call once a week, and we record every call so that they could listen to the recordings. But in between every call, we ask our clients to journal in an online journal. And when they journal, their journal goes to their coach, and their coach reads in response to the journal. So there's this dialogue that takes place in between every call. So it's very intense, and it's very intimate. And the client and the coach, they go very deep, very fast. Well, that piece of software that we use is called Journal Engine, and it's a piece of software that we built in-house that we use with our clients, but we also license out to other coaches, speakers, trainers, so that they could use it with their clients as well.
So your bold claim is that you could turn someone's whole life and game plan around in 10 weeks?
We certainly begin with 10 weeks. Some people stay longer, but a lot happens in 10 weeks. Quite a lot of transformation takes place in that amount of time. Yes, it happens fast. And the reason it happens fast is because we're working with them every single day. Like if you think of an Olympic athlete, how much time do they spend with their coach? Every day, hours every day. And in the corporate and personal coaching world, it's not quite that way. And this comes as close to it as we can get.
Now, Kim, you're an MBA, and I'm going to run some numbers by you here.
Okay.
Say we put a little offer out there for our It's a Show crowd. If they would like to engage your services at Frame of Mind Coaching, you could give them 92.5% off of the actual retail ticket price. How does that grab you?
92.5%?
Yeah, I'm just spitballing. It's just the number that came into my head.
That's a pretty high number.
You are an MBA.
I'll tell you what I can give them if you're a numbers guy. I'll give them 1,000% more value than the price of the ticket.
You are good. You are good. No, say legitimately somebody reaches you from this podcast. Would you give them a deal, a friends and family rate for me?
I'd be open to that idea.
Yeah.
If you sent people my way and they said that Greg sent them to me, then I'd be completely willing and open to that idea.
We have to use my name GA because I got to stay anonymous. This is a side job, so please use GA and not Greg.
Got it.
Otherwise, I got to beep the whole thing. Kim, you are extraordinary. What a cool business. President of Frame of Mind Coaching. And you've intrigued me. I want to pick up your book, author of What You Focus On Grows. Where can we get this bad boy?
Go to the website, frameofmindcoaching.com. And I want to add one more thing. One of the things that we want to do for anyone who's listening is give you a chance to journal and express yourself and have your journal be read by and examined by a coach with you, of course. So it's a complimentary coaching call, but it's based on your journal. And that opportunity is on our website also. So there's an assessment there with journaling, and you'll have the opportunity to go over your journal with a coach.
Will you judge my journal?
We will not judge your journal. We'll dig into it. We'll unravel it. We'll get to the core of it. And just that one call will rock your world.
I've been waiting a long time for someone to unlock my potential.
Well, let's get going then.
All right, Kim. Happy International Women's Day. And thank you so much for your patience in getting this interview done. We truly appreciate it.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thanks so much. Okay, was that good for you?
That was awesome. You're terrific. I wanted you to laugh so no sound came out because I saw that in your bio thing. But the opportunity didn't come. I'm just not on today. I'm frustrated by technical difficulties.
No, but it's true. That does happen to me. No sound comes out. That's, but then you wouldn't have a very good radio show.
When my kids get me going, and they're usually the only people that can get me to laugh that hard, I do like a really, it's a huge wheeze type situation.
Right. Well, how many kids do you have?
I have 4.
Oh, my goodness. So we should get all of them all together in a room, and then we'll just sit there. I'll be silent, and you'll be wheezing.
And you have 5 kids, and what age range?
Youngest is 15, oldest is 21.
My youngest is 13, and my oldest is going to be 21. So we're right in the ballpark.
There you go. We could have family game night.
Yeah, 3 girls and 1 boy, and they're very competitive at game night.
We have 4 boys and 1 girl.
Oh, wow. If there's any progress and somebody does actually connect with you from the podcast. Maybe we'll do an update down the road.
I'd love that. You know what? Honestly, if people do come and take an assessment, they really honestly do get an incredible experience with us. So if there's an opportunity to do more, do again, I'm there. I'm up for it. And, you know, we can definitely get into some meatier subjects, like actually talking about problems that people have and how we might go into solving them.
That sounds great.
I have found that when you really talk about subjects that listeners can relate to and they go, yeah, I have that problem too.
Yeah.
That's when you're hitting gold. And, you know, I don't know who you would say your listener is, but everyone struggles with relationships in one form or another, whether it's with their kids, their spouses, their partners. And that usually is a really good button to push.
And you know, as a mother of that many children, sometimes you can get two of them happy at once, but the other three, or, you know, like it's a constant balancing act.
I can relate to that fully.
Sparky is my co-host on the show, and he's got, we do a love life update with him every week because he's single and he's trying to, you know, he's putting himself out there. And
I could help.
You could help?
I was on a show called The Art of Charm with Jordan Harbinger.
Okay.
And we definitely talked about the challenge that men have in finding and dating women. And then at the end of the show, Jordan became a client of ours. That's... Yeah, you can look him up, actually. He's a pretty established podcaster, The Art of Charm.
Kim, thank you so much. Safe travels, and we look forward to checking in with you again.
Okay, thanks so much, Greg.
Have an awesome day.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye. Kim.
It's a Show is a weekly presentation of Sloan Baxter, Engaging Possibilities, and the Children's Television Workshop. I'm GA on behalf of Sparky Peeker and the Intern Army. Please like and share our awesome Facebook and Twitter posts and help us grow the show. At It's a Show Pod, It's a Show Podcast on Facebook and iTunes, and you can find us on podbean.com if you are so inclined. And until next week, God bless and be good. Not because you always want to, but because you really should.
Keep in touch.
Yo, man, let's get out of here. Word to your mother.